and we welcome our good friend Herb Weisbaum to the show. Hiya, Herb.
Hi, Nick.
How are you, buddy?
I'm fine, thank you. Good to be with you.
It's great to be with you. To give everybody a little background, Herb Weisbaum, you are a consumer, you cover the consumer beat.
Yep, I've been covering consumer news for about 30-something years, and I file my reports with NBCNews.com, also work at a radio station in Seattle, and my goal in life is to make people smarter, warn them about the scams, protect them, and just keep you safe and healthy.
There you go. That's what you do, and you can check out ConsumerMan.com. That's your website, and tell people how they can subscribe to your free newsletter.
Well, there's a little thing on this right side where you can fill it in, or a little pop-up comes on. Just all you have to do is give me your name and your email address, and you'll get the weekly mailing with everything on there. And I do not sell, share, or rent my list or give it out to anybody. It's just between you and me.
There you go. And if people have questions, they can call in or text us right now with concerns and questions, anything consumer-related, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, you have just returned from a forum in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell everybody about that.
We'll stay there.
There you go.
But this was called the Privacy Exchange Forum, and it was the fifth year of this event, sponsored by a company called Cyber Scout. And I go down to MC the thing every year. Some of the top people in the country are there to talk about things. And it's always very scary because when you realize the things that criminals can do that we've never even imagined with all of our information and how easy we make it for them to gather this stuff, it really does open your eyes. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. We talked about everything there, things you and I have talked about before, about the people share so much information about them, and they use really poor passwords, and they don't check what the apps are taking off of their phones. But there was a guy, an amazing cyber guy. He's a white hat hacker, so he's a good guy. Mm. And he was on the stage, and he put this little device down, and he says, this is called a pineapple. And it sells for, I don't know, $150, $200, like that. And I'm just going to turn on for a second, and then I'm going to tell you what's going on with all the cell phones in the room. And what he was doing was he was picking up the Wi-Fi, because your phone, even though you're not connected to a Wi-Fi, or if you are, but even if you're not, it's always searching for a Wi-Fi connection if you have it turned on for Wi-Fi. So it's always broadcasting information. So he said, well, I'm making up the numbers, but well, there's 15 people connected to the Westin Wi-Fi system, and there's 8 people connected to the conference system. Those are probably the tech people. And he named a couple other things. And would someone like to raise their hand? The person who signed onto the Wi-Fi network at a strip joint in Kansas City recently? I'm picking that up here, and I can see that.
Wow. Well, that's
but the point is that they can see what you're doing. They can see where you've been. They could use that for blackmail purposes or whatever nefarious things they want to do. And he didn't do this, but he said Bluetooth is even worse because your Bluetooth is broadcasting all the time as well, unless you turn these things off.
Yeah.
He said, you know, when you hook it up to your car these days, I can, with a device, find out how often you're in your car, when you're in your car, when the last connections were, sort of get a pattern. If you wanted to do something nefarious, a hijacking, a kidnapping, something like that, I could know your patterns and what's going on. And the other thing he pointed out, which I'm aware of, but I don't think a lot of, maybe your listeners aren't, when you get into a rental car and you pair up your Bluetooth with the navigation system and the audio system so that you can play your music through the phone or take your calls through the system in the car, in many cases, that vehicle is saving that information. So once you leave, all your contacts, I never do that. I never, ever pair my phone with a rental car, and I wouldn't know how to clean the rental car off and get rid of the information once it was in there. But in many cases, these cars pair up with your phone. If you let them do it, the information is stored in that phone, and somebody, of course, could download that information or do something with us. We're just sharing our information so much and not even realizing in many cases that we're doing it. It's really kind of creepy when you hear what's going on.
Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for your thoughts and concerns and questions. 312-981-7200, talk and text. Herb, so this pineapple thing, who can get it? Can anybody get it?
He didn't go into great detail, but it's obviously off-the-shelf technology, and it's something anybody can get, just like there are people who have Wi-Fi sniffers and go up and down neighborhoods, and they drive around and are looking to hook up to somebody's Wi-Fi connection and steal their Wi-Fi and use it for whatever reasons they want to do. This technology that allows people to do this kind of stuff is pretty easy to get and pretty obvious. The other thing that was very interesting, and we can talk about it if you want to more later, because I know we're going to talk about it, is a lot of talk about the Equifax data breach.
Yeah. Now, let's take a break, Herb. When we come back, we'll jump right into that, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers a consumer beat for NBCNews.com, and you can check out his website, consumerman.com. He's here. We got more consumer stories to tell you about and some news and answering your questions or concerns. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Friday, Fly Jams Friday, straight out of context, Nick D Show, Spies and You Big Dummies. All of the regular features that we do here on Friday will be happening. Herb Weisbaum is currently with us. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter, friend of the show, and he covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. And he has a website called consumerman.com. And we welcome Herb back to the show. Welcome back, Herb.
Yes, sir.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text if you have questions or concerns about consumer-related stuff. Herb, you wanted to continue talking about what was happening at the Privacy Exchange Forum in Vegas, particularly about the Equifax leak.
Yes, and I know we'll talk about this in just a minute and some things people can do. I know they're interested in that. But the interesting thing that was brought up here was the question of liability, that in a lot of these breaches, and not just the Equifax breach, but in most of the breaches that have taken place, including government breaches, the owner of the computer system has been notified in many cases that they have a vulnerability. You didn't upgrade your software. You got something needs to be patched. There's something that's an obvious vulnerability. Case after case after case was shared with us at this conference, and the people never bothered to listen and patch the vulnerability or correct the problem that was there. Mm. And they wind up getting hacked, and our information is floating around out there. And there was some serious discussion raised about the fact that maybe we need to have some more serious penalties. You can't stop all breaches, but if you know there's a problem and you know the information's vulnerable and you haven't done anything about it, I'm not a lawyer, but in my book, that's negligence, and I think there should be some penalty for treating my information that way.
Well, you would think so. I mean, yeah.
And I think if things, maybe there's a need to write some laws, maybe some states will write some laws, maybe Congress, yeah, cross your fingers, may write some laws, but I think there needs to be some penalties for people who are really sloppy with the way they protect our information. And that was an interesting topic that came up at this conference.
Absolutely true. I would agree with that, Herb. Yeah, there should be. I mean,
sure.
You know, yeah. By the way,
and again, with the Equifax thing, people, you know, your listeners know, we've talked about this before. You collected all this information from me. I didn't ask you to collect it. You just did it. You stored it in a gigantic database, and then you allowed somebody to get in there and steal it. You know, there's something that just sort of hits people the wrong way about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 815 area code wants to tell us this, Herb. This season's finale of HBO's Silicon Valley, which I'm behind on, dealt with those pineapples.
Oh,
so okay. That's in the Silicon. I guess Silicon Valley's finale had that the pineapples that you were talking about a little earlier.
Very, very. Which for people who are just joining us, is not a fruit, but it's a device that sniffs your Wi-Fi from your cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
773 area code says, with that Equifax breach, I have horrible credit. Should I still be worried?
Absolutely, because you have a Social Security number, and they're not worried about you stealing your money. They're worried about stealing your identity and taking that Social Security number to do all kinds of nefarious things with it, whether it's using it for medical identity theft and having medical services performed with your Social Security number, whether it's getting a false ID, all the kind of things you can do with someone's Social Security number. They can have access to various things, a bank account, to your medical records, to anything you need a Social Security number to get into. So, yeah, you really do need to worry about it, whether you have good credit or not.
Everybody should be concerned.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned
45 million Americans. Thank you very much.
Man, oh, man. And you mentioned, you know, that they may steal your Social Security or your information in order to have medical procedures. You wrote about that.
Yeah, I actually talked to a teenager who someone used their Social Security number to have a medical procedure done in their name, and this is the most lucrative form of identity theft right now. You know, credit cards on the black market, a stolen credit card number, debit card number, maybe gets 50 cents or whatever, and these things can get $95, $100, $100 and a quarter, something like that, because they're so valuable. You can get drugs, you can get equipment, you can get medical procedures done with somebody else's name and Social Security number, billing it to them, and then their information can get commingled with your legitimate medical information. And this teenager that I spoke to went to give blood at a school blood drive, and they told her she couldn't give blood because she had AIDS. And she said, I don't have AIDS. And they said, no, the records show you have AIDS. Well, it turns out when they investigated, someone had used her Social Security number to get treatment for AIDS in another state, got commingled with her records, and it took her more than a month to work with the blood bank people or wherever these records were to tell them it wasn't me.
Wow.
I also spoke to a woman once for criminal identity theft, where they take your identity and get bogus credentials and pretend to be you. Someone committed a crime with this woman's name and ID, and she was driving along, pulled over for a traffic check, and was taken away in handcuffs because there was a felony warrant out for her. Except it wasn't her. It was the identity theft that was using her ID. And she now, for the rest of her life, has to ride around with a letter from the local prosecutor in her purse that says this person was a victim of identity theft and did not commit these crimes, and don't arrest her.
Wow. That's terrifying.
And as a matter of fact, while we're just on this for a second, an interesting study came out from the Identity Theft Resource Center, which is in California, and they looked at victims of identity theft, because we always think about it as being just financial crime. Yeah, you get a new credit card number, big deal, or you work with a bank to get the money back if you can or whatever. And they found that this changes people's trust. They're less trusting. They sometimes have relationship problems. They have depression. Several percentage of people, I think it was 10% or something, 5-10%, had suicidal thoughts. I mean, this can have, you know, if you have the real serious form of identity theft where they keep draining your money or pretend to be you or get documents to pretend to be you, this can ruin your trust in human beings and society and the system, and can really, you know, you're always looking over your shoulder, what's going to drop next? They stole my checking account today. They took my credit card yesterday. What are they going to do next? Get my voting registration, steal my taxes? You can see how it really does have an impact on you.
Well, you know, you guys did a piece on that on the radio station, the radio station, about that, about the actual emotional toll of identity theft.
I talked to Eva, the head of the Identity Theft Resource Center. Yes, it's very moving to realize it's more than just changing a credit card number.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine what kind of devastation can happen from having your identity stolen, and especially if it's done in such a major way, as you said. Of course, it's going to have emotional effect on you. There's no question about it.
And she was at this conference and told me that the average person now, if it's more than just a credit card, that, you know, just somebody stole your credit card number, it's real identity theft where they're really playing around with their identity, can take something like 8 months to clear up. I mean, it's not an easy process.
Yeah. And that's everything about it is bad. Everything about it is
and
bad.
Getting worse because it's a growing crime.
Yeah.
And now there are 145 million Social Security numbers and dates of birth and mother's maiden name and all that floating around there. Someone said, you know, people say, well, I haven't become the victim of this yet. And one of the experts I spoke to said, that's just because there aren't enough bad guys to use all the information they stole yet. Just wait.
Yeah. Scary. Okay. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
Herb Weissbaum is with us. We've got some people on hold that Herb is going to help out. If you have any consumer concerns or questions, 312-981-7200. You can check out Herb Weissbaum at consumerman.com, and he covers Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com as well. And we'll have more after the news, which is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. And coming up, we got all of our regular Friday features, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy, plus Fly Jams Friday. And it is the last Friday before Halloween, so we're going to do spooky Fly Jams this morning in honor of the season. So if you've got requests for DJ Shagru, 312-981-7200 for spooky Fly Jams requests, and we'll get that going a little bit later on. Right now, we are speaking with Herb Weissbaum, our good friend, Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out his website at consumerman.com, where you can subscribe to his free newsletter. And Herb is here to talk about consumer news and stories and answer some of your questions. Herb, welcome back.
You sure it's me? You better check two forms of ID.
It sounds like you.
Okay.
So we've got a bunch of people on the line who have concerns or questions. Herb, are you ready?
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
Here's Marie on WGN. Welcome to the show, Marie.
Thank you so much for taking my phone call. I have three things I have to ask him.
Okay.
The first thing that I had, cell phones. I started out with the cell phones, and I'm up in years. I can't stand them because I think a lot of my problems started with the cell phones. I had three different phones from three different companies, and it was like I had like three-way conversations going on in my phones, every single one of them. I'd call who I thought was security, and I'm not so sure if I was allowed to get through to security. And then I had my personal identification stolen, and my Social Security number had been taken, and I had a nursing license. And I think a lot of nurses and doctors had better be aware. Anyway, there was somebody that had passed as a nurse with a BSN degree in one of our university hospitals here in Illinois for 5 years, taking care of pediatric kids. Also, and I found that out by calling the state. They said, well, thank you for observing and letting us know that your license had been exposed. And I had different things going on. I haven't had a charge card in years, but I was told that my maiden name now has been compromised and somebody purchased a home with a loan on my name. Also, not just my maiden name, but my married name was now being used with Nordstrom's and Macy's.
So,
okay, well, yeah. It's not just your name. It's what they'd be using is your Social Security number. It seems like to me you should do a couple of things. First of all, if you freeze your credit files, and Nick will talk about this in a minute in general for everybody listening, that would prevent people from taking out loans or opening new accounts in your name or whatever name they're using with your Social Security number. So hang on when we talk about freezing your credit reports, you want to do that. The other thing is, since you seem to be having a lot of problems, I would contact the Identity Theft Resource Center. You can look them up online, Identity Theft Resource Center. You can call them. You can talk to a person there, an individual one-on-one counselor, and they will work through the various ways that you can do things to try to back yourself out of this mess that you find yourself in. So I would suggest those two things.
Okay.
Listen when we talk about credit freezes and contact the Identity Theft Resource Center.
Right. Marie, thanks for the call, and keep listening because, Herb, let's talk about it right now then, the credit freeze thing that can help Marie and other people out.
So a lot of people are not taking advantage of this opportunity, and let me explain a little bit about it. And they think that they can just do credit monitoring, and that's, of course, what the companies would like you to think. A credit freeze is the only proactive step, the only thing you can do to prevent certain kinds of identity theft, financial fraud where someone opens a new account in your name. That is the only thing that can prevent that from happening. And what happens is you contact each of the three credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You can do this online. And you tell them that you want to, but tell the computer you want to freeze your account. And what that, it'll cost you in most states, it's about $10 to do it per bureau, so it's $30 to do it. I know it's an expense, but trust me, it is a hassle, an expense if your identity is stolen or someone, even if they open a credit card account in your name and all the stuff you got to go through to stop the card, change the automatic charges, et cetera, et cetera. So you do it online. It's usually $10 per bureau. If you're over 65, it's free in most states. So you can check on that. And then you will be given a PIN code. You have to use that PIN code to access the account. If someone doesn't have a PIN code, they cannot open that account. Okay, you can't even open that account if you don't have the PIN code if you lose it. And what that does, it prevents anyone from opening a new account in your name. So if you were to go to a department store and they say, hey, would you like to get 20% off and just open a new credit card account, you would not be able to do that. If a bad guy is pretending to be you and trying to do that, they won't be able to open that credit card either. If you want to unlock or unfreeze the credit report to get credit, you have to pay, again, to unfreeze it, $10 in most cases, whatever the initial charge was, to unfreeze it, and then $10 to lock it up again. So, for instance, when I bought a car recently, I knew that I had to have a credit check. I simply asked the dealership, which of the three credit bureaus do you use? They told me they use TransUnion. I unlocked TransUnion. They got my credit report. They approved me for the loan. I closed it back up again. Yes, it's a pain. Yes, it's costly. That's why all the consumer groups in America are lobbying Congress. You should lobby your Congress member, too, to make credit freezes free, or at least one a year, that you can freeze it and open it once a year to do what you want to do, because that's the way the bad guys open new accounts in your name.
Yeah.
Credit monitoring monitors what's happening to your life, some parts of your credit life. So basically, it's telling you when the horse is out of the barn. Despite the advertisements you might hear and see, they cannot prevent identity theft. They can only tell you when something has happened. And if you feel that paying whatever it is, $10 to $30 a month, gives you that extra peace of mind, and you want to do that, knowing full well that they're not going to stop anything, and the million-dollar guarantees they all give are basically worthless because no one has to spend $1 million to get their situation back together again, then if that makes you feel better and you can afford it, you can do that. Just remember, only a credit freeze can stop anything from happening.
Right. That'll be the best $30 you ever spend, actually, you know?
I locked mine up a number of years ago. I never thought about it. My wife went to the local credit bureau to put my name on the account as a signer, and she calls me up at work, and she says, they won't let you do it. I said, what do you mean? So the computer says you can't sign on the account. And it was like all of a sudden we went, bingo, I got a credit freeze.
Yeah.
If I had, and now I didn't need to be on the account, so that was fine. If I was a crook trying to get access of my account, it just blocked me.
Yeah.
It actually worked in real life. I saw how it happened.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that does. Do we have time for a couple more tips, or you got to go break?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Things you can do on your own, whether or not you have a credit monitoring service, you've got to be proactive. We all have to be proactive. So here are a few tips. If you see anything suspicious on any kind of bill, you need to assume not that it's a mistake, but that something's wrong, and check it out and find out what's going on. When you get those medical things that say this is not a bill, but it just lets you know the services you received, we all throw them out. Look at them, because if you see that you had a tonsillectomy in North Carolina and you didn't have a tonsillectomy and you didn't have service in North Carolina, then you know that somebody is using your ID for medical identity theft and you need to deal with it. If your kid is 5 years old and gets a summons to jury duty or gets some kind of starts getting collection calls,
right,
you know that someone took your kid's Social Security number and is starting to do nefarious things on them. They love kids' credit card numbers because kids don't have credit files to look at, so they can use the number. And finally, be proactive. One more thing you can do. Go to your credit card company and go to your bank, and you can do this online, and set up alerts. So what you can do is, for instance, on my, and it will take you 2 minutes. So you can, for instance, say, I have on my card, anytime there's a foreign transaction, I want to be notified with an email or text alert. Anytime there's money taken out of a cash machine, anytime there's a transaction over, you set the limit. Maybe it's $250. You don't want to be bugged all the time. Out of country, foreign transactions. So you can set those kind of alerts up for your checking account and for your credit card, and you will know instantaneously. My wife went to the cash machine to withdraw some money the other day, and bingo, I know exactly when she did it. If I didn't know she was gone, I'd know someone had done that. What's going on? I'd be able to check it out. So again, those alerts are free. All financial institutions have them, almost, the big ones at least, the decent-sized ones, and that will let you know in real time if something is going on with your credit card or your bank account. I can't strongly urge that enough. That's something you really need to do.
Okay. All right, Herb, hang on.
You got it.
Herb Weisbaum is with us, always helps people out, and you can check him out at consumerman.com, where you can subscribe to his free newsletter, and he covers the consumer beat for NBC News. We still got some people on the line. We'll get back, answer some more of your questions right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news, we will be joined by Mark Ramsey, who is the writer and narrator of Inside the Exorcist, a really great podcast series. It's part of the Wondery Podcast Network, and we're going to talk all about that because it's Halloween. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. Scary Fly Jams Friday for Spooky Fly Jams, 312-981-7200. Right now, though, we're continuing with Herb Weisbaum. Herb is an Emmy Award-winning expert, a reporter who covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com, and his website is consumerman.com. And we welcome Herb back. Welcome back, Herb.
Hey, during the commercial break, you just popped up on my computer. I'm looking at you because you mentioned me on Facebook.
Ah. See how that works?
Got your little baseball cap on and all.
Oh, it's from the show page.
Yeah.
That's me. That's what I look like. Okay, here's we got some questions here. Here's Joe on WGN. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Nick. I understand Herb is from your producer, familiar with the Equifax scenario.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a letter I just received today. It's dated October 3rd. But nevertheless, it refers to the September 7th scenario, if you will. And I'm just wondering, they give you a website, if you will, and a paragraph says what to do is what you plug on once you get onto that website. And I think you've already answered a couple of my questions, I think. Freeze everything, overseas, ATM withdrawals, whatever, that type of scenario. That's,
yeah.
Those are good hints. But basically, what is he suggesting? What should I do with this letter? Because the wife is saying, well, you know, they have all our information anyway. I'm not going to get on there and give them my Social Security number if they want it and all that sort of stuff.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't trust any letters from anybody because con artists are going to be sending out emails and letters as well. So yeah. I would just go to the Equifax website. The problem with Equifax is they've been having a very, very hard time instructing people as to what to do. I mean, the advice is, whatever they tell you, the advice is pretty simple. You can freeze your account, and they were making it available for people to freeze it for free. I think it was till November or something. So
yeah,
I'd absolutely do that. And then they're offering this. They're going to offer this service where they call it credit lock as opposed to credit freeze. And Nick, we'll probably talk about that next time because consumer advocates are looking into that. And a credit lock, which is what Equifax and TransUnion are offering for free, are not exactly the same as a credit freeze. So if I were you, protect. You know, lock your credit file. Yeah, they have your. Yes, you need to assume they have your credit number, your Social Security number, but you want to keep them from using it. And by freezing the account, that's what it does. It prevents them from using it to open new accounts in your name. So I would definitely take advantage of that and do it at the other two bureaus as well.
Okay. All right, Joe, thanks for the call. Everything works out for you. And Herbie, as you mentioned, you know, Joe received a letter from Equifax, but you got to be wary of that stuff, like emails and letters, because that's, you know, the bad guys know that they can do that.
Yeah, you just really have to be suspicious and can't trust anything. You've got to go to the source yourself, log onto these websites, and for all of your financial and transactions, you just can't believe that kind of stuff. You
right.
Know?
Okay. Here's Nick. He's on the road on WGN. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you doing? Got a couple quick questions. You mostly answered what I was thinking about, but I've got my son is actually at college. He's 20. Obviously, relatively clean credit, you know, not a lot on there. What would you recommend? Would you recommend him freezing his credit?
Well, I assume at this point in his life, he doesn't have a whole lot of need for getting new credit all the time.
Exactly. So,
if he doesn't have the need to get credit all the time, then lock it up, and he can always open it up, or he should lock it up, and can always open it up anytime he needs to do something. But he's as vulnerable as anybody else, so the only way to protect is to lock it.
Okay, and I had one more thought on while I was on hold. Do you recommend any of those password lock, you know, password security apps where you can load all your passwords on there, or is that not a recommendable thing?
I don't recommend, but there are a lot of very, very good ones. LastPass and Passlane are two of the ones that are pretty popular and a lot of people use. That works real well. And the other way to do it, and I was just talking to the security experts from the Federal Trade Commission who were at this conference I was at in Las Vegas, you know, I just have my passwords written down on a piece of paper, and I have it hidden in a drawer, and the odds that somebody's going to break into my house, find that piece of paper, and get to my accounts is insignificant compared to people who use a password of 123456. So if you don't want to use one of those services, at least do complicated passwords and write them down on a piece of paper and keep them somewhere where, you know, no one would really get to them, and your odds of having some kind of problem with that is better than using really bad passwords.
Yeah.
But if you want to use
the name of those again?
LastPass and Passlane, I believe, are the two.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks.
By the way, Nick.
Yeah.
Nick.
Yes.
The guidelines are changing for passwords. You know, it used to be to try to do this complicated password and that nobody could remember, et cetera. And if you write them down like I do, you can make them complicated and remember them. But if you're not about to do that and you're not going to use something like these automatic password managers, which store and create new passwords for you all the time, which is a pretty cool way to go, they're now saying just put a bunch of words together that you'll remember 20 letters long. And that's really hard to crack, and it's really easy for you to remember. You know, so I listen to Nick DiGiulio every night. It might be your password. But I mean, something like that you would remember that's got a lot. That is what the new thing they're saying, because so many people, I mean, the number one password is always 123456, like the bad guys can't figure that out with their algorithms in about 2.3 seconds.
Right.
Or password, or password one. So that's another way to go. Pick a series of some words you would remember that are about 20 letters long, and that's another way to make a safe password.
Okay. Roger texts in and says, my wife had her identity stolen, and it's been crazy. Every couple of months, we get word that there's some crazy charge. Once there was a person who rented 6 pickups in our name in Colorado, and we live in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of thing that these people do. And that's why when we talked about people always looking over their shoulder and wondering when the next shoe was going to drop, that's what happens. But again, if the credit if the credit file was frozen when the rental car went to check it, they probably would get rejected and they probably wouldn't be able to do that. So it might be something where that might help. I'm not sure, but it's just something to keep in mind.
Keep in mind, yeah, sure. Yeah. 708 area code says, well, what can we do now? Is there a class action lawsuit that we can be a part of? If so, how?
Oh, there are going to be tons of lawsuits. There are several that have already been filed. There's nothing you need to do. The lawyers do all the work, and then if they get a successful ruling from the court and the court certifies it as a class action lawsuit, then everybody in the class, meaning everybody who was breached in the Equifax suit, will be automatically notified. But, I mean, we're talking, you know, the way the courts move, we're talking probably 18 months or more before the court would even get to the point where, yeah, it would certify that there's a class action lawsuit. But if you were breached and there's a class action, we're talking until there was any kind of settlement several years down the road.
Yeah, and this is so huge. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's...
This may actually be a game changer. This may finally get Congress to pass some rules, maybe, that crack down on these companies because of the way it was handled so poorly by the credit bureau. Right.
Okay, Chris is on the line. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
For the last month or so, I've been getting a weird phone number, and it's the plus sign, 441, couple of eights and everything. And I just let it go to voicemail. They won't leave a message. And I answered it one time, and it was recording, and the guy was like, this is officer or something of the IRS. So I hung up because I know they don't contact you like that.
Correct.
When I try to reverse the call, it says your international number cannot be reached. How do I
Because in
that?
Most cases, when these guys are calling, they're spoofing the number to begin with. Even if it was like an 800 number or whatever you try to call, in most cases you can't call because they're faking the number. A lot of these calls, most of these calls are coming from overseas. They're just sitting in boiler rooms and doing this kind of thing. And unfortunately, you know, too many people get scared and fall for it. Lucky for you, you didn't do it. But this fraud continues to go on, and they're taking in millions and millions of dollars.
And even when I answered the phone, I said, what? I didn't say hello or yes. I just said, what? And then it was, as soon as I heard it was a recording, I just hung up on it.
Right. Okay, well, that's a smart thing to do. And you never respond. You shouldn't try to call back because if you do, it's going to let their computers know they got a working number and somebody is willing to respond, and then that'll put you on the hit list for calling you more often. So you never want to respond to one of these spam calls like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Chris.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. Good
Thank
luck.
You.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. I'm just telling you that because we're out of time. I don't know why I told you that. Herb, I understand that you emceed the Walk to End Alzheimer's. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, that was the Alzheimer's Association of Washington State was having walks throughout all the state, and my entire family on the female side, my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, and my great aunt all had Alzheimer's before they passed away. So it's a cause that's near and dear to my heart. We did walking and raised thousands and thousands of dollars to help people here in the state deal with it and research and that sort of thing. It was a very rewarding experience to do that kind of thing, and I'm always glad to take part in doing those sorts of things.
Good for you, Herb.
And by the way, one more musical thing.
Yeah.
I saw Elton John while I was in Las Vegas Tuesday night.
Oh, how was it?
70 years old, 2 hours straight, the keys flying, his fingers flying on the keyboard at Caesar's Palace. It was, and all the hits, it was absolutely unbelievable. And Nigel Olsen, his original drummer, was playing with
him. Oh, wow. That's great.
And he actually asked for Dan Chigrou. Did you know that?
Did he? I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that. Herb, always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next month, okay?
You got it.
All right, buddy.
Take
care.
Thanks so much, Nick.
All right, buddy. There you go. Herb Weisbaum. He's the best, man. And you can check him out at consumerman.com. Subscribe to his newsletter. He can help you out. And if you didn't get through, go to his website and check it out, and you can leave messages there, too, as well. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up next on WGN.